We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Heat have a chance tonight. Game two in Boston.
Chance to what?
To do what? To have more assists?
When I say optimism, I mean not getting blown out.
So they're going to lose by six?
That'd be a victory in my book.
I don't think they can generate enough offense. Somebody would have to drop 50 for them to keep up with the Celtics on the scoreboard. I just don't think we have enough firepower.
Chance to what?
To do what? To have more assists?
When I say optimism, I mean not getting blown out.
So they're going to lose by six?
That'd be a victory in my book.
I don't think they can generate enough offense. I don't think they can generate enough offense. I don't think they can generate enough offense.
This stuff is hard. And you got to stay together if you got the guts. And you don't find the first door and run out of it.
Martin's going to hit it every time. He touches it, a handoff to Hopkins. Right down the middle. Kicks it to the right side. To Nico for three. Got it! Tyler diving in the right side. Back to Bam. Snaps it into the left corner. To Nico up top to Jaime. Rolls and rattles in a three.
I just don't think we have enough firepower.
And a miss by Boston on a quick shot. So we'll let that balance out with Miami up 21-20.
No, we're not.
No! No! Tyler Hero's feeling it from 31. Tyler pulls it back out top, moves it to Caleb to catch a fire, and a three ball on the left side of the arc.
Those little boos when he touches the ball, they're getting less and less audible.
I don't think they can generate enough offense.
Caleb up top. Bounce pass to Tyler. Jab step right. Moves to his left, fires a three, nothing but net for Tyler Hero. His fourth, made three in six tries. He's only shot threes. He has a dozen. Nico, who uses a screen, back to Tyler, pump fake. Tatum flies by, gets it into Bam on the no look. And the up and throw down right at the rack for Bam. And he now joins the double-digit scorers.
Chance to what?
To do what? To have more assists?
Tyler sets a screen. Brown bounces off of it. Tyler for three. Tyler knocking down another three. That thing rattled all over the orange iron. His sixth made three in nine tries. Duncan to switch. Duncan uses a Bam screen. Fires up a three. Knocks that down. Almost a one-hand delivery by Duncan. His second made three in five tries. 22 three-pointers for Miami. Hopkins knocks it down and goes skipping up the floor.
So they're going to lose by six?
That'd be a victory in my book.
Tyler, right side of the yard. Bam the screen. Gets it to Caleb. He'll fire a three. He makes the three from the left side of the arc. His fifth make in six tries from the land of milk and honey. He has 21. 14 assists for number 14.
Gang Green has seen enough. They're headed into the streets of Boston. Green hooded sweatshirts. Good night.
I just don't think we have enough firepower.
Game two of round one belongs to the Heat. Miami wins 111-101.
I don't think they can generate enough offense.
Well, listen, I'm all about it, and I'm ready to celebrate, but I feel like I was unfairly painted in that montage by Solana. I don't want to take issue, and I don't want to not celebrate because it was an unbelievable win. I had the Heat money line last night. I put actual dollars on the Heat money line. Now, unfortunately, I parlayed it with the Marlins money line. Now, they had an unbelievable ninth inning comeback. I almost hit the greatest money line parlay of my life, but I didn't. But I believe I was unfairly painted in that montage, even though that montage was great. That game was great.
I wasn't. I was very surprised by Bam, Caleb, Bam, and Tyler scoring 66 points between the three of them. I was surprised. I'm
you
not
guys
gonna
hear
lie.
That? You guys hear it? Hold on.
Oh, yeah, we hear it. We hear it.
Do you hear it? Do you hear it?
Yeah, we hear it.
Victory cigars, baby!
Let's go!
Woo! Dia en la discoteca.
Rob Pizzola had Jovich's over.
Who bet Caleb Martin's over? Come on, man. I'm excited too.
How could you not be?
We can't paint it like we're upset. We just question things.
Kendrick Perkins had to release an apology after the game last night. Shaq got it right. Shaq said Heat will win by 10.
Hit it on the dot.
Stephen A. Smith had to apologize. What an unbelievable victory by the Heat. I'll tell you a couple things. Yesterday went perfectly for Solana because the Heat, it's honestly one of the best playoff wins in team history. And to make it even better for Solana, Sixto Sanchez wasn't very good for the Marlins. So he really had a day to celebrate. Like he was, a lot of stuff could have gone wrong for Solana last night. Everything lined up for him.
Can we play the song again?
We cannot. We cannot. Had he been lights out, we would have. But we cannot. I saw this. Israel Gutierrez posted on Twitter. A lot has been said about Tyler Hero and his flaws, but this much can't be disputed. He's had a lot of impressive performances on some pretty big, pressure-packed stages. Plenty to debate on what his best role is, but he's a damn good player. Yeah. And I thought that was such a good tweet by Izzy because he does have some times where you're frustrated, but there are times, oftentimes on the biggest stage, where Tyler Hero does exactly what you need him to do. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of times on big stages where Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown don't do anything that you need them to do.
Watched it last year. It reminded me of last year when I was watching the game.
I was wondering, like, does it change? I'll ask you, Solana, does it change how you feel about this series? Does last night's game, because, listen, there were a record number of threes. Now, I think the odds of replicating that are pretty small. But you also saw that the squad that they're putting out there is capable of beating the Celtics. You know, can you do it by knocking down 120 threes? I don't know. I don't know if you can do that again. But they certainly didn't seem like an infallible team. And we have seen that before with many teams in the NBA and the Celtics as well. Great regular season, but they're not infallible. So I ask you, Solana, did last night's game change the way you look at the entire series?
Pepa y agua para seca, todo el mundo en fatiga en la discoteca. Yes, of course it does, because you know who's empatiao? Eric Spoelstra, baby!
Woo! Yeah! Jimmy's feeling it today, too. Spo's the great equalizer for me. We said it yesterday.
Spo's an amazing coach.
Give him... There's a stat I saw about, you know, the Heat coming off a loss, like some sort of bad loss in the playoffs, like Spo. And then even last night, if you watch him in the post-game press conference, it's like, yeah, okay, we got to get back to work now. And like there, He is like so perfectly cast for what he does. Hey, this Joe Mazzulla doesn't know what's going on. He always looks confused to me. And Spo, I don't care if they're losing by 30 or winning by 10. Spo always looks composed and knowledgeable about the situation.
Spo shouldn't have to wait 5 years to get into the Hall of Fame or whatever it is. Spo's an amazing coach.
How about coach of the year? How about just a coach of the year?
Never given. That's the craziest part. We talked about that before. That's wild. But we shot 53% from behind the arc.
It was a record. They set a record. What was it, playoff record?
Well, no, for the Heat. So the Miami Heat broke their franchise
their playoff record.
Or
was it a game record?
No, the Heat record. The NBA playoff record.
Was it for the playoffs or for regular season as well?
No, I believe just for the playoffs. 23 made threes. The record is 25, Milwaukee against Miami last year in game two. But for the Heat, a franchise record, 23 made threes in the postseason. Hawk, to answer your question seriously, I saw a Heat team last night that figured out how to limit the Celtics from shooting a ton of three-pointers. So the big question after game one was, how do you make the math work? If the Celtics are going to shoot over 60% of their attempts from three, and they're going to shoot them efficiently, right? How do you make the math work? Well, Miami didn't double team as much yesterday. They played a lot less zone. They forced Tatum and Brown to beat them at the rim and taking mid-range jumpers. And what we came to find out, which was a big concern for the Celtics coming in, not against the Heat necessarily, but in the postseason, can the Celtics come up with big-time buckets in crucial moments of the game? And here's what's interesting about Boston. They finished with the fifth best point differential in the history of the league this season. They won their games on average by 11 points. They barely played close games down the stretch. And the Heat, as bad as they were in the regular season in clutch games this year, they know how to win those games, especially in the playoffs. So if you can have Kristaps and Jrue Holiday and Derek White not go off and not torch you, and force Brown and Tatum to take twos for most of the game and keep it close, I think the Heat can compete in more of these games. Can they win four in a best-of-seven series? I don't know. But can they compete, keep these games close in games three and four on their home floor and give themselves a chance? I think Spo just showed you that, yes, they can.
I would say, yeah. I would say that the game yesterday showed that Spo's a genius, and he's the best coach. We know that, like you said. He should be coach of the year. It's crazy, isn't it? But make people – it's the whole Belichick thing, to be honest. Make you do what you don't do well, and don't let you do what you do well. And that's what they did last night. Can they hit 53.5% of their three-pointers for the rest of the series? I don't know. But I kept saying, and I love your montage, Shalana, where the offense – I don't know how they're going to generate offense – they got to 111. That's what I need. I said that. I question our offense. Defensively, I know we're going to figure it out. I just need to know, and I didn't know, that Caleb Martin was capable of a 21-point game. Our big three is Caleb, Tyler, and Bam. How can you
it looked better than their big three last night.
How can you make me a montage when Bam, Tyler, and Caleb are our big three? But they dropped 66. They dropped 66 last night.
That's the amazing thing about the Miami Heat, and that's what puts other teams in fits when it comes to playing against the Miami Heat or watching the Miami Heat, because teams where personnel-wise it does not make sense that they're doing what they're doing, and you can throw in Max Strus and Gabe Vincent and all the people that have come through the doors over the years that they've had so much success. And you saw it again last night. I'm with Solana. Does that mean they can win four games in this series? I don't know. But what you saw last night was perfect Miami Heat.
Who do we have
to deal with? We'll make the best of this, and we'll make Caleb Martin look like he's better than Jason Tatum. Like, we'll take our guys, and we will make them look better than these guys that everyone around the league thinks is so great and they're going to run away with it. We'll show you. Whatever you give us, we will make it a competitive team. They do it every year. I said at some point, I think it was this week or maybe it was last week we were talking about this series. And I said, at some point, we are going to come on the air and we are going to say, why did we ever doubt this team? I said, we're going to have that moment where we come on the air the next day and we say, why didn't we learn our lesson? By the way, it's exactly what Kendrick Perkins did last night after the game. He sent out a video on social media and he's like, why don't I learn? Why don't I learn? Keep my big mouth shut. I've seen the Heat do this over and over again, and they did it again. Why don't I learn? And so I knew we'd have this moment, and here it is.
There's no way that deep eye socket Masula, because he has very deep eye sockets, if y'all haven't recognized.
I got it from the nickname.
There's no way they're sitting in film session and they're saying, hey, we got to shut down Caleb Martin. To your point, how does that happen? It's a scheme and it's Spo and it's guys saying, hey, like Caleb's confidence was through the roof walking into that game. That goes back to the organization and really back to Spo. There had to be a conversation with Caleb last night or the, you know, before the game that, hey, green light, go get it. Go do what you do. Go green. Go do what you do. Like, go out there, because I'm watching. I'm like, oh, okay. Caleb's LeBron right now. Go get him, big man. Tyler, I know Bam's capable of 20. I did not know Caleb was capable of 21.
Tyler did his thing, too.
Yeah, Tyler did his thing. That's what I've been asking. I've been asking for that game out of Tyler. When Jimmy got hurt, I was begging for that game out of Tyler.
And I love he walks into that post-game press conference. He's got like a t-shirt and khakis on and the bucket hat. He is so cool. I love Jimmy Butler, too. I will say this again, but I say it all the time. You saw the Photoshop that he Instagrammed out. Was it Jaylen Brown last year?
Yeah, so the Heat go up 3-0
last year. Said, don't let us get a game. It was the same quote, the same story. But Jimmy put his face over Jaylen Brown. It's really – and then Jimmy wrote on this, feeling spicy, might delete. And then he wrote, psych, not deleting this. He is the best, man. I love that. We have a lot to get to. We're going to talk plenty of Heat. The NFL draft is tonight. Crowder is in Detroit. I'm assuming you're in Detroit, right? You're in Detroit?
Yes, Detroit.
How was your comedy shows last night?
It was good. The two are hell.
Doing two in one night.
Two in one night, man. That's hell. It's that second one because
that's taxing.
You got to get up emotionally, and then you go back and sit around for an hour, and then you got to get back up again. So it was a learning experience with the two in one night. I won't lie, but it was fun. We had a great crowd. We had a bunch of David Mulugeta came, agents came, Ronnie Brown was there, Lamar Woodley came. So a bunch of players came, a bunch of agents came because they're all here for the draft, but. Yeah, that two-in-one night was a...
You were regretting the second show after the first one finished?
I wasn't regretting it afterwards, but I would say the first show was better than the second from my end.
Gotcha.
Yeah, my 45, 50 minutes, my first hour was better than the second hour.
Anyway, I want to talk about that today. There's so much to get to. Clay Ferreiro is going to join us. He obviously was watching that Heat game last night, and I was kind of following his take on Twitter. He obviously was celebrating in Brian Scalabrine's face, as we all were. I think Scal may have caused a little – I don't want to say bulletin board material, but he created something out of nothing, and I believe if anyone benefited from the something out of nothing – it was the Heat side, not the Boston side. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that's the difference between a win and a loss. I'm just saying if there was a beneficiary from the hoo-ha about nothing, I believe it was the Heat team rather than the Boston team.
They should have caught a code red on Caleb Martin.
Code red. Send cornbread
out. How about
y'all
get in front of him? How about y'all put a stop sign in front of him as he's roasting y'all's ass?
All I was thinking about last night was this.
Code 10, code 10. This is Joe Clark. Take the chains off the door. The enemy is here.
You know what? They should have Morgan Freeman, the Heat, Saturday at the Kaseya Center, dressed as Joe Clark.
Chains off the door. The enemy is here.
Colton, this is Joe Clark. Get those chains off the doors. The enemy is here.
I love how it's a radio for his own staff, and he yells, "It's Joe Clark." Well, of course it's Joe Clark.
Who else has this frequency?
Who else has this frequency? Who else is allowed to make demands? There's like one intern. It's like a kid, 13. His voice hasn't changed. It's like, code 10, this is Joe Clark. Of course. Give us the directions, Joe.
The enemy is here.
We're wasting our time. We know it's Joe Clark. All right, let's get headlines with the celebratory Alejandro Solana. There's a lot to get to tonight as well. And then we'll talk with Clay Ferrero about that Heat win last night, which was truly spectacular. It is in the Mount Rushmore of Heat playoff wins just because they were not given a chance. Nope. Kendrick Perkins had said the Heat could shoot 100% and they will not win a game this series.
Damn, Perk.
These headlines are driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks, the fun's not over. Ladies and gentlemen, because the Panthers are coming for that ass tonight, Tampa.
Got another one tonight. This, by the way Boston feels after that game last night, and all of a sudden it's 1-1, and this team. This is how we would have felt if Tampa was able to win game two when they tied it at two. This was the feeling that Boston fans and players have. That's what we would have been experiencing, which is, no matter how good we are, this team figures out a way to beat us. And the Panthers overcame that in game two. The Celtics did not. There were a couple times the crowd was trying at the end. I mean, they were trying to get that team into it. The Celtics kept missing shots. They just were unable to get back into it. And, man, they have got some thinking to do before Saturday. I love the fact that they've got to think about this and stew about this as they get down to Miami. And, what is it, 6 o'clock on Saturday, Solana?
Yeah, 6 o'clock Saturday at the Kaseya Center.
Yeah, let them stew and think for a few days.
These series are like boxing matches. Where it's like Rocky, who's a man, Rock. He bleeds when he Mickey. A Drago? Yeah, when he cut Drago and he was like, he's not.
That was Drago. Yeah.
It's like when you're supposed to win, you're the top dog, you're the best team in the league, you're the big dog in the East, you're the number one seed. And then the Heat throw a punch and your eye starts bleeding. And you look like, okay. I can get a lick in on you, and if I catch you a couple more times, it might go. I'm surprised, Solana. The montage was great because you're correct. I never thought that could happen, but it's like that. It's where what fight just happened? What was it? Ryan Garcia and Haney?
Yeah.
Yeah, Haney was Saturday night.
Garcia wasn't even supposed to be in the ring with him, and then he caught him a couple times, and you're kind of like, okay. So now I'm looking like, okay, Heat, let's see what we can do with this.
It's why I say, do I think they can knock down 23 threes again? No, but he saw the other guy bleed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, maybe you're not going to catch him with that big left uppercut again, but you know he's not unbeatable.
And on the other side, to your point, Hawk, Boston's sitting in the corner right now wiping blood off their eye and saying, right. Oh, wow, this is about to be a series.
Yeah.
That's the part. Let's continue this fight. Ring the bell.
So game three again, Saturday at 6 p.m. Panthers do play the Lightning tonight. Game three in Tampa. That'll be a 7 o'clock start time, and you can listen to the game right here on 560 WQAM.
All right.
Tonight is the NFL draft. The Dolphins, as it stands right now, have the 21st selection in the first round of tonight's draft. It will begin at 8 p.m., which really means 8 p.m., the Bears go on the clock. And let's see, are they going to get cutesy, Hawk, where they use the full 8 minutes?
Of course.
Just so that there's drama.
15 minutes, isn't it, in the first round?
15? Nah, 10.
Isn't it?
It's 10?
15?
Because I feel like the league, like even if they delivered the pick, I feel like the commissioner sits on it for 10 minutes because he's got to give the TV partners time
to line it up.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Caleb Williams' name is already on the Chicago Bears ticket.
Right. If it's not, then
they're not going to let it. They're not going to let it come out with 14 minutes and 58 seconds left. They're going to sit on it so that all those Mel Kuypers can talk about foolishness that they don't know about.
It's funny to me that in round one, I'm reading it now. Round one, teams are given 10 minutes. Round two, which will be Friday, teams are given 7 minutes. And then in rounds three through six, they get 4 minutes in rounds three through six. And then 4 minutes at round seven. It's weird because, I mean, they have all the preparation in round one for the picks. Like, if anything, they should be given more time for the random guys at the end of the draft that they kind of have to shuffle through and really do their research
on. That's what you want to be doing on Saturday at 3:30 in the afternoon, waiting 30 minutes while somebody decides between a tight end that they've never heard of and a defensive end they've never heard of with the seventh pick in the seventh round.
Those numbers are based on TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to set your draft to auto-select, kind of like fantasy football.
Yeah, good call.
Terrible call.
Yeah, just let the Bears put on auto-draft. Then they're going to take Caleb Williams and then whatever else, whoever the computer says.
So GMs are irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, they get it right as often as they get it wrong. So set it on auto-draft.
I'm with you, Noah Igbinoghene. The computer would have picked somebody better than him. Yeah.
You'd imagine.
In the NBA yesterday, by the way, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they made quick work of the New Orleans Pelicans. They blew them out 124-92. OKC leads that series 2-0. Tonight, the Magic get their chance at home versus the Cavs. They trail 0-2 in the series. The Sixers get their chance at home tonight. Game 3. We know the Knicks are up 2-0 in that series, and the Lakers down 2-0. They get to host the Denver Nuggets, try to avoid going down 0-3 to Denver.
All right.
The Marlins yesterday, I couldn't wait for this update. I don't know what I was more excited for, the Miami Heat victory or Sixto Sanchez just looking like an absolute clown in the first inning. He ends up going 2 2/3 innings, 5 hits. He gave up 3 earned runs, and the Marlins ended up losing 4-3. They had that little comeback in the ninth, as Hawk mentioned, but they did get swept by the Atlanta Braves. They're off tonight. They get a home series, which means chances for Whopper Jr. starting tomorrow. They host the Nats at home.
By the way, Solana, for those who don't know, is rooting against Sixto Sanchez for strictly selfish reasons.
Yeah. I happen to love Sixto, by the way. Like, I think he's a really cool dude. Great
story. Just
want
him to fail forward fast.
Yes, but unfortunately, based on selfish reasons, I have never rooted harder against anybody in South Florida sports.
Fail forward fast. There's no way you hate Sixto as much as I hate Cam Cameron.
I probably shouldn't use that phrase on draft night.
Yeah.
Bad juju.
Yeah.
Yes, don't put that juju on him. Yeah, man. Yeah. Wasted a year of my life.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. I know you guys get on me for saying this, but it happens to be a gorgeous afternoon in South Florida.
It is. I get on you more for not preparing for the weather.
That's fair, yeah.
And I don't think you prepared for it. You just lucked out that it was a beautiful day.
Listen, my weather report was going to be Pepaya Wapara Seca. So you're lucky I gave you something else, okay?
My show sheet has celebrity birthdays listed every day. Yesterday, Al Pacino was 84. Today, he's back on the birthday list, this time at 83. So I don't know what Solana does before a show, but I know it doesn't involve any kind of prep whatsoever. I don't know if Al Pacino has 2 consecutive birthdays, which would make him not human, or if he lost a year miraculously somehow over last night. I don't know what happened, but we'll get into it later. Clay Ferrero is going to join us in the next segment.
He gets that weird-ass haircut.
Oh, he's got a piece.
Wild.
Al Pacino has a piece.
Yeah, Al Pacino's got some
system.
Hair. Solana's hair. I don't know what's going on up there.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show. Hawk and Crowder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A reminder before we talk some Heat here with Clay Ferraro. Saturday, now there's a Panthers game tonight, but Saturday is game 4. I'm going to host a watch party at Dave & Buster's in Hollywood. And Celsius is going to be out there sampling all their flavors. And Hollywood Kia is part of the festivities. Makes Solana happy. We love our friends at Hollywood Kia. But Saturday, 5 p.m. is when the Panthers game starts. I'll probably get there about 4, 4:30. Dave & Buster's in Hollywood. That'll be the place to be. Clay Ferraro is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Clay Ferraro, sports anchor and reporter at Local 10 here in Miami. He was on with us at the Amerant Bank Arena earlier this week, but I want to talk Heat. Clay, explain to us how you interpret last night's Heat win. Is it as nebulous as saying culture, or is it as specific as hitting a record number of threes, or is it attributable to Eric Spoelstra, or is it a combination of all?
Yes. it's all of those things, and I think it was great. And I think when we were talking the other day, I really felt like game two was their best chance. And I think a big part of it, too, was there was just this weird buy-in by the Celtics to all of this Code Red stuff. And it was like, just play. Just go out there and play. And I really felt like once that seemed to get into their head, and then once the shots started to go down, and once they see Caleb Martin doing it all over again, it just felt like the avalanche, the snowball turned into an avalanche, and that's what you had.
And, Clay, I know Tyler can go for 20. We've seen it with last playoffs. He went crazy. We know Bam is Bam. Bam's a perennial all-star. Is Caleb that third guy with Jimmy out? Can that be the answer to the offensive questions?
It can in spurts. I think, you know, when he has a night like he did last night, then it's hard to say no. Look, I really like what I've seen from Jaime. And it's not that the shot's always going in, but he's getting to the basket. He's making nice moves. I think the bottom line is you've got enough guys that can be added. So whoever it is, you can find a way to get the extra points you need.
Clay, we talked so much about adjustments that needed to be made, running Boston off the three-point line, Miami shooting more threes, less doubling, less zone, Tyler off the ball. What adjustment? I think we saw all of those to a certain extent. What adjustment were you, A, most happy with, B, most shocked at seeing the Miami Heat execute last night against Boston?
The Heat basically saying, we're going to let your two best players hunt mismatches as much as they want, as long as they're not shooting three-pointers. I thought that was brilliant. I don't think any one of us would have thought to do that. I think if Boston had been told before the game that Tatum and Brown were going to combine for, 61 points, they would have happily chalked that up as a W. And yet, it just felt like they were taking the shots that the Heat wanted them to take.
Clay Ferraro is with us. Now, does it change, I asked Solana and Crowder at the beginning of the show, does it change your outlook on the entire series? Is it the Rocky versus Drago thing where you say, oh, you know, he bleeds, he's a human, they're mortals, they were great in the regular season, you see now that you can beat them, or is it, hey, that was a great game, thrilled that they shot, you know, 23 threes, but I still don't see how they can replicate that?
I would say it's I need to see it again. And I need to see it in a game that isn't 23 for 43 from three-point range. And that's I'm speaking about, hey, can they win this series? Not just can they make this thing interesting. Like, if they win one more game, then you're guaranteeing yourself that you're going to have a game six at home at the very least with the right to force a game seven. And if you get to that, then anything can happen. But I need to see them do it in a game where they don't shoot 23 for 43 from three-point range, because I don't see that happening again, not just the percentage, but more so the volume. And I think they can. They need to find another way to get one more. And if that happens, guys, I just feel like it starts to creep into Boston's head a little bit. Like one game where they go 23 for 43, maybe you tip your cap and say, all right, we're fine. But if it happens twice and you start to let those doubts about the potential coaching mismatch and stuff like that creep in again, then I think you got a real shot.
Clay, what's Boston's answer? Is it just like Tatum, Brown, go get off? Because like you're saying it, where they ran them off the three-point line and they let – Tatum and Brown get their mismatches and just, hell, we'll see what happens. And, you know, they drop 60, but they still lose. Like, what's going to be Boston? Because I think Spo is a better coach than Mazzulla, but Mazzulla right now with his deep eye sockets, he's watching a lot of film too.
Oh, man. I was not expecting that.
He's uncalled for. It's a little uncalled for.
He watches film. He can't sleep.
Right. Well, I'm just saying eye sockets are generally off limits.
That was what I did not see, Kevin. You know what?
Neither did Joe Mazzulla, because his eyes are so back deep in his head. No peripheral vision.
Oh, my God.
See anything coming.
Like nothing Channing says should shock me, but that one like got me. It's like,
man.
When you're watching, it's like when you're watching SNL and one of the characters makes another one break. It is like, I would probably, if I'm Boston, try to find ways to set some off ball screens, try to get some of those other guys open for some of the 3-point shots that you're looking for. It felt like when they saw their better players with what they viewed as mismatches or even just simple one-on-one, that they were like, all right, we're good with this. Like, we'll ride this as long as we can. And I feel like they need to at least adjust a little bit to try to change the Heat's eyes a little bit, get them looking and saying, all right, do I have to run? Because basically what the Heat did a really good job of by forcing Boston to do that was also make sure that they stayed home. There was not over-rotating because there wasn't a whole lot of rotating. And that's what Boston kind of relied on in that game one. So if I'm Boston, I'm trying to get a way to get those Heat guys moving on defense, because if they move, then maybe you have a better shot of getting somebody in a bad position. But, you know, beyond that, they need to rebound a little bit. I feel like I'm on WEEI right now, like breaking down the Celtics. But, you know, they need to find ways to get some of the impactful offensive rebounds that they did in game one as well.
Speaking of EEI, so Kendrick Perkins, he sent out an apology video last night, and he said, you know, I don't know why I continually get fooled by this Heat team. Shame on me. And Stephen A. Smith said this morning, you know, I don't know why I didn't see that coming. I was wrong. But we had some fun this week at the expense of Brian Scalabrine, Clay. And I made this comment earlier in the show, and again, I don't think this is the difference between a win and a loss, and I don't buy in much into bulletin board material. But if either team made the most out of a story that was never really a story, it was just kind of a storyline kind of thrown out there by Brian Scalabrine, I believe the Heat made the most out of that situation.
Oh, and I'll go back to what I said a few minutes ago. Why were the Boston players leaning into this? Why was Jaylen Brown talking about a line being crossed? And I don't know, Peyton Pritchard said something about, oh, I like that they do that. Like, if you watch the play, it was so blatantly obvious what happened, and very clearly not a dirty play. I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't surprise me that the Boston media tried to make something out of nothing, but it was surprising to me that the Celtics felt the need to feed into it, almost like they needed extra motivation to beat a team that you faced off against in the playoffs before, knocked you out last season. It felt strange that that's where their heads were. So, yeah, I felt like it was just as much the Heat making the most of it as it was Boston trying to make something out of it and kind of losing sight of what they should have been focusing on in the first place.
Clay, maybe, you know, a dumb question, I'm willing to admit, but even I saw last night Mike Greenberg from ESPN's Get Up. And I know, you know, a lot of South Floridians, we take issue with Greeny and the way that he loves the Jets and refuses to give South Florida teams their fair credit. But even he tweeted yesterday, how many coaches in any sport today are more effective than Eric Spoelstra? Is last night, not that for us down here, we needed last night to know Spo how great he is, but is Eric Spoelstra the greatest head coach in the NBA right now? Like did last night solidify it perhaps for the rest of the NBA?
Yes. Yes. And you know, I think the guy who I would say is up there is Michael Malone. And yet we love the Heat players, right? What's that?
I could not mess up Denver.
Well, and that's what I was going to say too, is like, if you were to give Spo the Nuggets right now, and I think you go back and you look at what they did last year, you know, we're sitting here talking about, how do you stop Jokic and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. And then all of a sudden Aaron Gordon goes out there and plays bully ball on you. And this series is like, what is it? So I do think Malone deserves some credit for being up there, but beyond that, guys, I don't know how there's a conversation beyond Spoelstra. And I think what's unfortunate is all of these Coach of the Year awards are about what happens in the regular season. And we know what the regular season means to the Heat. It's not that it's meaningless, but in many ways it's a means to an end. They keep the main thing the main thing.
Just to this point, I didn't even have this question, but talking about Spo, Clay, the Phoenix Suns are getting their ass whooped by the Timberwolves right now with KD, with Devin Booker, with Bradley Beal. If Eric Spoelstra is coaching the Phoenix Suns, are they 10 times better than what they are now?
That is a great question. And I don't know the answer to that, because I feel like part of what makes Spo great is he finds the roles for the players beyond the stars. And I feel like Phoenix, they've got the three big potential scorers, and you know, Grayson Allen is hurt. And, you know, I feel like some of the guys that you look at and you say, man, Spo could really find a role for that guy. Well, where is that on Phoenix? And maybe there are those guys, and maybe they just haven't found those roles because, to your point, you know, a coach like Spo hasn't worked with them. But, you know, I think it does speak a bit to Spo's ability to identify some of the guys. You know, you talk about Caleb Martin. Well, you know, it's not like, you know, he was a cast off from Charlotte. You know, Nikola Jovic and Hakez making big plays last night. Like, these are guys that you get back half of the first round. And, you know, Spoelstra is doing things with players that are not Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier. And so, yeah, I think it's part of Spo's brilliance is that I think he would probably find ways beyond the big three that you mentioned to get the most out of those guys, much like he did when, you know, you had Shane Battier and Mike Miller and the guys who were you know, part of that big three run.
But even with all his love, hey, Spo, find a few minutes for Kevin Love, all right? Some of us are living and dying on Kevin Love overs, and he's just not getting any minutes there. I don't know what's going on there.
Can I tell you?
I don't even think he came in the second half, did he?
I had a friend.
We talk about this tight rotation, and, oh, there's no such thing as a tight rotation in the playoffs anymore. Okay, well, how about you tell me that you're tightening it back up before I bet the Kevin Love overs?
Well, can I tell you, I had a friend texting me about that yesterday. I was like, oh, yeah, because I don't bet, because I'm terrible at it, which I don't know why people have been asking me for advice, because, like, I stink at it. But then I'm like, no, like, hey, for entertainment purposes only, yeah, I definitely love the Kevin Love over on points and assists, and then that happens. What I think is interesting with Love, though, is for as much as I think he can bring – if you're going to focus on, we want to take away their three-point shot, and we're not going to, we really don't want to play much zone, it's kind of hard to find a place where Love is able to pick up when Boston is going with the guys that five of them can shoot on you. So, you know, what I do wonder is, now if there's that adjustment from the Boston perspective, then does Love come more in play? But, you know, we won't know that until it's too late and you've already put in the wrong bet on your Hard Rock app.
I was going to say, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. You just gave me a good little insight. His over-unders are all going to be diminished, but now he's going to get playing time because this is chess, not checkers. Damn it, Clay. Damn.
Yes, well, I mean, and that's why I say absolutely take the over on everything Kevin Love in Game 3, which is why everybody listening should stay away. or take the under.
What has your rapt attention tonight? The NFL draft and the Miami Dolphins or the Florida Panthers?
Panthers. Wait a minute. Hold on. The draft is on Local 10, so it's the NFL draft. My bad. Sorry.
Oh, that's right. It's on ABC. So was it NFL Network, ABC, and ESPN?
Nah, the NFL Network, ESPN. No. It's on ABC. It's on Local 10. Personally, I'm really interested in the NFL draft because I think there's going to be some chaos from what you're hearing at the top. Like, it just feels like teams are jumping each other for these quarterbacks and offensive tackles. But, locally, if you're asking me what's more interesting, the Dolphins picking at, 21, or the Panthers with a chance to go up 3-0 against their biggest nemesis, I'm leaning with the Dolphins because it's on Local 10.
Always a company, man. Clay Ferrero from Local 10, if you hadn't figured it out. Thank you for joining us, Clay.
All right, guys. Take care.
Deep eye sockets. All right, we'll take a a break.
Is that a bad insult?
It's just a shocking insult. It's shocking more than anything.
Every time they show him, I'm like, wow, his eye sockets are deep.
Take a break. Come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
This stuff is hard, and you got to stay together if you got the guts, and you don't find the first door and run out of it.
Hock and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.